Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Right. So I wanted to connect. Obviously, at Mug and a Vot, we're doing the 3T project. Lots of initiatives with the 3Ts: Teshuva, Tefillah, and Tzedakah. And I wanted to connect Parshat Re'eh to one of those Ts. And the obvious one is Tzedakah. There's many, many pesukim in Parshat Re'eh that talk about Tzedakah. You should open up your hand to the needy person, and there's many, many other psukim, but I'm not going to go in that direction. But so what I want to do is I want to see how we can learn a very, very important lesson about teshuva, a deep idea about teshuva. But it will take me almost 13 or 14 out of the 15 minutes I'm going to speak for to really see how we can. This idea to teshuva. So I'm going to be talking about teshuva, but I'll connect the seder to that probably at the end. In order for us to get there, I want to ask a different question. So starting in this week's parasha of Re'eh, continuing in for three or four parashiot, we have this phrase, this repeated phrase that comes up again and again. I'm not going to discuss what that phrase is just yet, but the question is. That I'm going to attempt to answer is, we know that the Beit HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, is so central to us, but the word Yerushalayim, and the city of Yerushalayim, doesn't appear in the Torah. The word Beit HaMikdash doesn't appear in the Torah. Instead, what we get is this coded phrase that I'm going to share with you in a minute, this coded phrase of and with retrospect, we know that the Torah is referring to the Beit HaMikdash. But I want to discuss why the Torah seems to keep this idea of the Beit HaMikdash a little bit secretive. We have obviously references to Yerushalayim. We know that well. For example, in Parashat Lech Lecha, Avraham encounters a king, Malki Tzedek, who we're told we're told it's Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem, and the Ramban says that Shalem is actually Yerushalayim. We know that the Akedah takes place in Har HaMoriah. We know that Yaakov has a dream, okay, which would be Yerushalayim. But the actual city, the Ir HaKodesh of Yerushalayim, it doesn't seem to appear in the Torah. Instead, what we have is this phrase that comes up again and again and again, and I didn't count the exact amount of references, but it's about 25 references from Re'eh going to Shoftim all the way through to Kitaba. So let me just share this phrase, and we know, like I say, with retrospect, we know it's talking about the Beit HaMikdash, but back then, okay, if you imagine the Bnei Yisrael, I wonder what they would have thought. Okay, so we have this pasuk here. And it will be that the place which Hashem will choose in which to establish his name there. Okay? Okay, and there you're going to bring up all your sacrifices or your korbanot. But this phrase comes up, I say, at least 20 times. Or something similar to that. There's going to be a place which Hashem will choose to rest his name there. Okay? And we know that this is basically, eventually, this is going to be the Beit HaMikdash. Why does it not say, okay, it doesn't say Beit HaMikdash at all in the Torah. We have the word Mikdash, but that's referring to the Mishkan, the temporary dwelling place, if you like, of Hashem. But why we have this, if you look in Re'eh, you have this phrase, we'll slip to this many, many times. Now, why does it say this every time? This secretive place that at this point we don't know where it is, right? The Bnei Yisrael don't know where it is. Hashem's going to choose it. We don't know when exactly we're going to have what will be Yerushalayim. So my question is why the Torah, you know, why the Torah does this? Okay, so yeah, we'll look at other pasukim shortly. Right. So the best way to analyze really what's going on is to look at the section where this phrase Makom Hashem Yivcha Hashem, the place which Hashem will choose, okay, comes up again and again and again. Okay, and we can have an idea. So I'm just going to share the pasuk. Okay, so if we look at sort of quite a lot of Perek Yud Bet, chapter 12. Okay, there's a lot of pasukim there. Here we go. Right. So we have this central section of Chukim and Mishpatim, and dotted around those, you'll see in this whole chapter, you would see the phrase Hamakom Hashayiv Hashem. And just to sort of summarize these pasukim, it's pretty clear what's going on here. Right, Hashem, we're going into the land of Israel. We're going to, at some point, have this special place for Hashem that Hashem will choose, okay, which will be Yerushalayim. But how can we do that with all the Avodah Zarah that's going on in the land of Israel, okay? We have to completely obliterate, smash all the idolatrous practices, all the idolatrous pillars and everything like that. Okay, to Sufrun by, okay, it's okay. So the first sense we get is we're going to the land of Israel. Okay, how can we make a home place for Hashem? Okay, with all this idolatry, and we're going to read in Parashat Shoftim that we have the phrase Hashem Sanei Hashem. And okay, when it comes to idolatry, the word hate is used. Hashem he hates it. We cannot have that. And that's the first thing. Now, what I then did is I summarized. Pretty much every single reference to this phrase, Hamakom Hashayiv Hashem, and what exactly it was referring to, because as you may think on the surface of it, okay, Hamakom Hashayiv Hashem sounds like the temple, sounds like the Beit HaMikdash, it's the place we offer up korbanot, or we will offer korbanot, but it's much more than that. So let me just share this. Let me share this table with you. Right. Okay, here we go. Right, so, as I said, it was about 20 references. Every single pasuk there, that reference, I've got 12, 5, 12, 11, 12, 14, every single chapter and verse reference I've got there, you will see the verse, HaMakom Hashayiv HaHashem. This is what's going to happen at this special place that Hashem will choose. And like you know, the first row you can see there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 references where we bring up the korbanot. But there's much more than that. Right? We're beginning to get a flavor of what Yerushalayim for Bnei Yisrael, when they're going to the land of Israel down the line, when the Beit HaMikdash will be built, it begins to look like. It's not just about korbanot, okay? It's going to be the place where Masa Sheni is going to be eaten, okay? So, we'll talk about that in a minute. There's something called Bechor Behema, which I'll talk about in a minute as well. It's going to be the place where three times a year Aliyah Harega we're going to have a real sort of it's much more than korbanot. Just everyone's going to be descending on the Beit HaMikdash three times a year. Okay, the Sanhedrin is going to be is going to be in Yerushalayim. Okay, you're going to have Kohanim, you're going to have Levim going there, and now by the time we get to that last reference 26, we're already in Kitavo. Okay, three. We've got Rei, Shoftim, Kitetik. You write four Sidrot time. Okay, it's the place where we bring the Bikurim. Okay, the first fruit. So you can see, you get an idea that what Yerushalayim will be is going to be. It's going to be a national center. It's not just the place. It's not just the replacement for the temporary structure of the Mishkan. It's going to actually be the center of Judaism, effectively. So I just want to talk through just some of these. I'm just going to stop the share. So we see it's going to be, apart from korbanot, there will be, like I said, the Masa Sheni, 10% of the harvest, which will be eaten, shared with others. Okay, I'm going to refer to another pasuk in the Sedra about that as well shortly. Okay, the Bechor Behema was basically where a shepherd would bring... not only his firstborn animal, but 10% of his entire flock. Okay, like I said, the Sanhedrin, the Kohanim, the Levim was there. Now, basically, through these references to Makom Hashem Hashem, the place Hashem will choose, we're getting an idea of the picture of what Hashem wanted Yerushalayim to look like. Okay, the mitzvot pertaining to this site, that if we perform them properly, it would shape our national character as Am Yisrael. And the idea is that if done correctly, okay, that this Yerushalayim would be the center, which would ensure the unity of Am Yisrael, the people, but our entire religion. Now, coming back to Maaseh Sheni, I just want to share a pasuk about Maaseh Sheni, because we said there's a lot going on there. There's Korbanot, there's Maaseh Sheni, there's Kohanim, there's a lot going on here. But there's an intriguing pasuk towards the end of Re'eh about the tithe. Okay. Well, so we're getting a flavor of what Yerushalayim is, but there's something that's a little bit strange, which is, here we are. Right, Aset, Kol Tevuat Zarecha. We say this on Yom Tov as well. Okay, Aset, okay, Kol Tevuat Zarecha, Aset, Aset, Asher, Ashana, okay, you should surely try the produce of your seed, okay. But then it says, okay, when it's talking about the tithe, V'achalta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Okay, so you should eat it. You should eat before Hashem your God. Okay, similar phrase. Okay, at this special place. Okay, that where Hashem's name will be rested. Okay, and the matzah, you write Hashem el kecha kol yamim. So you fear Hashem your God. Now, as Jews, we like eating, but it seems to be suggesting that. Right, eating the produce in Yerushalayim, and from here we get the idea there's going to be the Beit HaMikdash, but then there's going to be an outside area. They didn't sort of sit down, you know, inside the temple. And there's an area outside within the city walls that the produce was eaten. But it says here, at the beginning of the Pasuk Kaf Gimel, and it says Liyirai Hashem Elokecha. How does eating this produce, okay, supposed to increase our Yirat Shemayim? Okay, it's going to make us feel Hashem your God. So I just want to link everything I've said to get a picture of what's going on. So if you think about all the functions that I said Yerushalayim would be, you're going to have. So just think about the whole bigger picture. Okay, you've got the Beit HaMikdash there. You've got the Kohanim and the Levim who dedicated their lives to the service of the temple. You've got the Sanhedrin there. So you've got Torah scholars. You've got judges. Okay, So you've got and think about this. You're eating Maaseh Sheni, and you know you're sort of mingling with Kohanim, Levim, Torah school, you people who are dedicated to Hashem effectively, and you can just imagine how one must have felt. Okay, that real the amazing feeling of being in Yerushalayim, and this culminated this idea of of Achdut, if you like, every 7 years in a Hakel ceremony, okay, where we're told in Parshat Nitzavim, I think it's Vayelech, that every 7 years, everybody, right, men, women, children, everyone gathered, you would hear the Torah being read, and how can you not have an increased sense of Yirat Shamayim? Now, so I've sort of built up an idea of what Yerushalayim was supposed to be like. Okay, I'm sort of running out of time, but now let's answer the question. Okay, and the answer to the question is, okay, fine. Okay, we've understood perhaps what the idea that Hashem wants for us in terms of what Yerushalayim will be like. However, why is it hidden from us? Why does it not say, right, at some point you're going to build what's called the Beit HaMikdash in a city that's going to be called Yerushalayim? Why is it this Makom HaShevcha HaShem, this special place? I'm not going to tell you where it is. I'm not even going to tell you when you're going to build it. Why is it like that? It seems to be a bit of hide and seek. And we find a clue to the answer to that question, this hide and seek relationship, okay, in our Sedra of Re'eh. We don't find the word Beit HaMikdash or Yerushalayim in Re'eh or the rest of the Torah, but we find a clue to the question, okay? And the clue, okay, is in the following pasuk. Yes, here we go. Okay, again, repeated phrase again. Okay, this is after we talked about before about all this idolatry that you're going to get rid of in the land. No, but rather you're going to go to this place, and that's where you're going to offer up. That's where you're going to offer offerings. Okay, but I'm just want to draw your attention to. So it's just a bit hidden on my screen. Here we go. The last few words. Okay. This has a little bit at the end that other pasukim don't. L'shichno tidrashu uvatashama. Okay, tidrashu. You need to seek out l'shichno, Hashem's dwelling. Okay, you need to seek out His dwelling. We need to want to have Hashem there. You want to bring Hashem down to this, down to us, as it were. Okay. in the Mishkan, in the Beit HaMikdash, okay, Uvata Shama, I need to come there. In other words, literally hide and seek. You need to desire, you need to want Hashem, and then Uvata Shama, and then you come there. And if we go, if we think about history, okay, we know that the Beit HaMikdash was not built in the generation of Yehoshua. Instead, we had the temporary structure in Shiloh, okay, that was established in the time of Yehoshua. Throughout the whole of the book of Shoftim, in the period of the judges, it was left in Shiloh pretty much neglected for the most part. Eventually, Shiloh was in fact destroyed by the Plishtim, by the Philistines, and eventually the Aron would just wander from place to place to place. And then we come to the time of King David. And what happens in King David? Okay, I'm just going to summarize because I appreciate I'm slightly over time already. Okay, but I'm going to share these slides so you can check out these psukim. Okay, it's in the time of King David, but it's recorded right at the end of the Tanakh in Divrei Hayamim. And what happens in the time of King David? Okay, I'm just going to, okay, it says, "Benaseba et arona elokeinu kilo derashuni b'meishal." David is calling to the people and he's saying, this is ridiculous. The Aron is wandering from place to place to place. Okay. Right, you didn't seek it in the time of Shaul. You didn't seek to have a proper dwelling place for Hashem. Okay, previously in the time of King Shaul, which was just the king before David. Okay, and now he arouses the people. And if you read the pasukim here and the pasukim in this chapter, okay, and I've got another reference from Shmuel Bet. Okay, it says, look at just quickly with that second. Vayom haMelech Natan Havi Reina Anochi Yosher Bebeit Arazim. But Aron Halokim Yoshev B'Tochayirat. Right, I live in this house of cedar wood, and the Aron is basically neglected. Okay, it's just in between curtains. Well, I've got this amazing house of cedar wood, and the Aron, okay, which houses Hashem, that's basically right. There's no home for it. So it comes to be that when the people seeked it, and you'll see if you read the Pesukim that the people, they're completely on board with King David. They say, absolutely, let's do it. And as soon as the people wanted to build the Beit HaMikdash, or to have a permanent home for Hashem, to bring the Shekhinah down to earth, then it was designated at that time that the Beit HaMikdash would be built. Now we know that the Beit HaMikdash would only be built in the time of David's son, King Melech Shlomo. That's a shir for another time, but it was designated to be built when the people sought it, when the people wanted it. Now, and if you think about my original question, now it's kind of obvious. How could the Torah possibly say, yes, you're gonna wander into the land of Israel, straight away you'll build the Beit HaMikdash and it'll be like on a plate for you? No. If you're building something like the Beit HaMikdash, you're bringing Hashem into your lives. It's not like you've got to think about what that relationship means. Okay, it's got to come from the heart. You need to want it. And now I'm going to finally connect this to Teshuvah, because this idea, I think, is not reserved just for what I've been talking about, just the Beit HaMikdash principle by itself. But I think it's very relevant for us as we move into El. Because before we start with looking at Hilchot Teshuvah and the specifics of how we go about Teshuvah and what we do, I think that it's very important to ask some big questions in what we want to achieve from Teshuvah. And I think from this sedra we can understand that Teshuvah is about mending a fractured relationship with Hashem, a fractured relationship due to Aveirot during the year. And really what it's about is actually wanting that relationship with Hashem, and asking some very big questions. We didn't have a chabur last week, so I'll just borrow a pasuk from last week's sedra. Last week we also asked a very big question. We read Vata Yisrael, and now we thought, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Me'ach. What is it Hashem wants from you? At the end of the Torah, do we not know that by now? Okay, we've wandered for 40 days, we had the Ten Commandments. Okay, do we not know that? No, you need to ask these questions every single day. Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Me'ach. What is it Hashem that wants from you? Okay, we need to ask ourselves, what is it we want? Okay, we need to want that relationship. And actually, if we go back to the pasuk that I just said that gave us some clues as to why it was hidden, why it didn't say Beit HaMikdash, I said l'shichno tidrushu. That word tidrushu, you should seek. That a word using the same root, Dalad Reishin, is a very famous pasuk. We have a very famous verse talking about Teshuvah from Yeshayahu, from Isaiah, which I'll finish with. which is Dirshut Hashem Himatzo. Okay, right. Seek out Hashem when he's to be when he's found. Kura uhu biyotar karov. Okay, he'll come close to you. Okay, right. Call out to him, and so therefore. Okay, if we see this idea with the Beit Midrash, but also with Teshuvah, okay, if you want the relationship, if you want to seek out Hashem, and the Gemara tells us that that this pasuk, okay, seek out Hashem when he's to be found, is talking about the Asarit Yemei Teshuvah, but the idea is there that okay, if you bring Hashem into your life, like make your own. If you like, right, your own mission, okay, if you bring Hashem into your life, then, you know, then he's there. And that's what Hashem wants for us, to actually want that relationship. And then, and I think that's a big idea as we go into Elul and the Yomim Na'arim. I think that's a fundamental principle of what we want to get out of Teshuvah, to develop a relationship with Hashem to take us through the year. And I will stop there. So I wish you all Shabbat Shalom.